The U.S. federal government has recently permitted California-based CancerVax, a biotechnology company, to license three experimental cancer drugs from Cuba. A condition of the license, however, is that any payment to Cuba during clinical trials would be made in sales of food or medical supplies and not in currency. Limited sales of agricultural products have also been approved in recent months. However, these events should not be interpreted as a relaxation of the U.S. trade policy against Cuba. In fact, despite these seemingly positive transactions, the Bush administration seems to be knuckling under the political pressure of the far-right Cuban exile community in Miami and has stepped up its aggression against Cuba. U.S. Representative Lincoln Diaz-Balart, a Republican from Florida, is one of the exiles offering cues to the White House and is urging that consideration be given to assassinate Cuban President Fidel Castro. Other Florida politicians are calling for the use of military force. In Cuba, more than a million people demonstrated against Bush's new policy against the island nation. I spoke with Wayne Smith, senior fellow with the Center for International Policy in Washington, D.C., and formerly ambassador to Cuba and chief of the interest section to Cuba under the Carter administration.
If Mr. Bush is trying to court votes in Miami, that he's causing this suffering among the Cuban Americans. Of course, the answer to that is that he only listens to a small, hardline core of exiles down there. He doesn't listen to the others, and I think that's a miscalculation on his part, and it may result in his losing Florida. But in any event, as you look at the measures against Cuban Americans traveling, practically cutting off academic exchanges between Cuba and the United States, and again, that's not going to bring the Castro regime down. Students don't spend much money in Cuba when they go, and I might add, neither do their professors. That's hardly a measure that's going to cause great economic distress to the Cuban government. So where are the measures that will bring an end, as they say, to the Castro government? There aren't any. They cause suffering to the Cuban Americans. Violation of academic freedoms, as far as we're concerned, in the academic community, but without doing the Castro regime a good deal of damage. So the Cubans are concluding there must be more to it than that. If the objective is to bring down their government, these measures certainly won't do it, so there must be something more, as they put it, the real stuff, the military actions against Cuba that would follow the elections if George Bush wins. I personally have my doubts that the Bush administration would be so foolish as to take military action against Cuba. There would be an outcry in the world, and what would be accomplished? But the Cubans are convinced that they face an attack from the United States if Bush is reelected.
Can you talk a little bit about the head of Commando 4 who was on public TV in Miami actually asking for donations for an invasion? And there's also been a request by Diaz-Balart to fund the assassination of Fidel Castro.
Well, not so much to fund, but Diaz-Balart has urged the assassination of Fidel Castro, saying it would be a humanitarian act, saving the Cuban people great pain and suffering.
Well, it's quite a statement coming from a congressional representative.
Exactly, yeah, but his father, of course, was a minister under the old Batista dictatorship. And Diaz-Balart himself has never done anything. I mean, he's never carried a rifle. He's never risked anything, money, his life, anything, for the cause that he says is of uppermost importance to him. But he keeps calling for the assassination of Castro and all sorts of other things that I think should be an embarrassment to the U.S. Congress.
Can you compare the new Bush policy to his policy in Iraq?
You know, there are a lot of similarities. For one thing, he came to office, obviously, as we look back over the record now, it's clear he came to office already with the idea of invading Iraq. It was sort of an obsession with him. The same thing with Cuba. There was no pretense at all that he was interested in negotiating with the Cubans, trying to reach some modus vivendi with them. No, not at all. He came into office with the idea of confrontation and very quickly moved to this idea of regime change. Secondly, In Iraq, we listened to a little group of exiles who assured us we'd be welcomed as liberators, that Iraqi oil money would pay for the occupation and the reconstruction. This was going to be a piece of cake. Well, we listened to them, and it turned out that they had no idea what they were talking about. They were totally out of contact with Iraqi reality because they'd been living abroad for years and years. The same thing here. President Bush is listening to a little group of hardline exiles down in Miami who are assuring him this is the way to go, just a little more pressure and Castro's going to collapse. Well, that's what they've been saying for more than 40 years now, and it's not going to work any better this time than it did then. And, of course, then third, in Iraq, we defied the United Nations. We made fun of the Europeans, referring to them as the old Europeans, and sort of with a sneer for the French and the Germans. We said we knew what the situation was in Iraq, and in we went, in defiance of international conventions, international law, and the UN Security Council. In Cuba, in calling for the end of the Castro regime, that we are going to put an end to the Castro regime, we're acting in open defiance of the OAS Charter, which forbids intervention in the internal affairs of another country. But, again, the Bush administration doesn't give a fig about international law, international conventions, or even international cooperation.
A letter has been sent to President Bush from many people, bipartisan group of prominent business leaders, ex-government officials, even elected officials and humanitarian leaders from across the nation. And it was sent by the Americans for Humanitarian Trade with Cuba, the AHTC. People like David Rockefeller have signed this. Paul Volcker, former chair of the U.S. Federal Reserve Bank. Peter Coors, the chairman of Coors Brewing Company, General Jack Sheehan, former NATO Supreme Allied Commander, and I believe under President Nixon. What is your opinion of this? What they're asking for is a resumption of trade regarding food, medicine, and travel.
I think the overwhelming majority of Americans want to see, they understand that the old policy hasn't worked in 40 years, and we ought to try something new. We've sold now something like $600 million in agricultural products to Cuba. If we lifted travel control so that Americans could travel down there and the Cubans would have more money, we could increase sales tremendously. In other words, there's a possibility for a very healthy trade, mutually beneficial trade between Cuba and the United States. Certainly Americans should not be prevented from traveling. That's a violation of our constitutional rights. And I think, as my friend Elizardo Sanchez, the leading human rights activist in Cuba, has often put it, the more American citizens in the streets of Cuban cities, the better for a cause of a more open society. I think the logic is unassailable. But the Bush administration, you know, doesn't proceed on the basis of logic. Look, Cuba, as long as the United States is threatening Cuba, trying to choke it economically, the Cuban government will react defensively, of course, and demand internal discipline. Everyone rally around the flag against the threat from the North. So the best thing we could do is reduce tensions, begin a dialogue, begin engagement, and I think then of its own course, quite normally, the Cubans will begin to relax, engage with us, and begin to make some positive change, move in the direction of a more mixed, more thoroughly mixed economy, and a more, let's say, open society. Let me just give you one quick example. There are not, I would say, real elections at the national level in Cuba. At the grassroots level, the elections are perfectly democratic, open nominating process, and so forth. In 1993, they debated moving the system at the grassroots up to the national level. But the decision was made after a lot of debate, including popular discussion. The decision was made that if we do that now, given the continued hostility of the United States toward us, we'll have the CIA in here distorting the elections. So what they have now is a system under which the municipal councils appoint the candidates, and there's only one candidate for each slot in the National Assembly. But with reduced tensions between the United States and Cuba, no reason at all Cuba couldn't then move forward, change the system, and have real elections for the National Assembly, and something that would be a lot more akin to a full democratic system. Cuba seems to have the same effect on American administrations that the full moon once had on werewolves. And that was 22 years ago. Nothing has changed. If anything, the Bush administration is the worst ever. The Bush administration's policies towards Cuba are the worst I've seen. They are counterproductive. They accomplish nothing. They suggest that no one in the Bush administration can think.
For Cuba in Focus, I'm Denise Manzari.